Hey, everybody. This is another solo episode featuring me, myself, and I, which that's three people. This one's just me. This episode is all about movies, the most Jeremy movies of all time, and I thank you for downloading, and if you get through it, I extra thank you. I promise we will try to avoid doing these as much as I can in the future, but I wanted to get something out this week. And I want to get some other things out. I figure I'll take this time, opportunity before the episode starts, to give you guys a reminder. Whether it's me, whether it's Bombcast J, whether it's the Silver Badger, Tommy himself, or just John, even the Flop, Missy, we all have, who's no longer a host, we all have our own social medias, and you can find them all in one easy place, and that is PCBombcast.com. Everybody, there's a link to everybody's socials on that page. If not, you can just try searching. Search Nerdcast.com. Go to Nerdcast.com, which is Jay. Look at us on Twitter, whether it's John B. something or another or myself. Just go check out PCBombcast.com and find everybody there. And also, if you can do me a favor, good friends of the show, Aaron Conaway, which is Drinks Around the Table and a noted author, and another note, his best friend and also noted author Daniel Moeller, who does Psychonauts Presents, they have combined their YouTube shows, or at least for a combined YouTube show called Mind to Five, a little playoff of 9 to 5. They didn't ask me to do the logo, and it came out good, which I'm a little irritated about. I'll probably do one anyway because that's what I do. But it looks like they do like a top five list, and this first episode on YouTube, as we speak, is all about the top, in their opinion, top five writer-artist combos in comic books. So I haven't really watched all of it yet. I'm only about 4 minutes into it. That was the extent of my bathroom when I saw it pop up, my bathroom break, so a little peek behind the curtain there. But it's up. I want you to go check it out, and I want you to keep checking out Nerdcast, and you can find that on wherever you find podcasts by searching NYRDCAST. And then also in the show, I mentioned Matt F. Basler. Check out him. Check out my Posse in Effect, who I go heavy on this show about. And then also, begrudgingly, check out Shane Presley on the Rock Paper Podcast. Not that he needs any more followers or any more or downloads, but you know he's out there doing his thing, so we might as well at least placating by downloading an episode here or there. All right, I'm done rambling. All that said, this is the episode, PC Bombcast episode 247, I believe, and it's a solo episode. You've been warned, and it's coming at you right after the bomb, which is right. Once again, it's just me, and that has to do mainly with a giant work conflict that I had this week where my boss was in from out of town, and I had to travel with him for a few days, which included dinners with some customers, and a whole lot of drinking, so it was probably good for my liver to take the day off from doing the podcast. We were going to try to do it Wednesday. It did not work out, so I'm sitting here doing this recording on the fly, all by myself. Much to the chagrin of Matt F. Basler, who always says, and I do always remember that you will fill in. It's just that every night has been filled with something this week, so I'm getting this done in the daytime, as it stands. So, that said, my last solo episode I did with you guys, I reviewed a crazy, never-before-seen, for me, goofy movie called Streets of Fire with Willem Dafoe and a whole bunch of other people in it that was, it was pretty, I like the idea of taking these, like, obscure movies that I either have seen and no one else has seen or stumbled upon and have experienced it for the first time and then bring them to you. And that's going to be the majority of what I do when it is a solo episode. I'm just going to talk about something with movies. But on this one, especially now that we're in the holidays, I want to do something different. Not that I'm giving you a gift. Quite the contrary, the fact if you're listening to a solo episode with just me, you guys are probably being punished. But I'm going to go ahead and continue to punish you. So thanks for the download, and let's keep it going. The theme I'm going to get into here in a little bit it has a lot to do with obscure and goofy movies, but I do want to do something else or talk about something else before I get into that. And that is, I just brought up the name Matt F. Basler. And he, of course, is a bass player for a band that's close to my heart, a tribute to the Beastie Boys called My Posse in Effect. I've seen them, oh God, when I first discovered them a couple years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, I've probably since seen them a total of, I would say 7 to 8 times, maybe. That might be a little high, but this past week, let me dial it back a couple months ago, the person that disappointed us the most about the never-released Ghostbusters episode, Mr. Shane Presley, who came up with the idea of the Ghostbusters episode and then bailed day of Ghostbusters episode, he did make it up to me sort of, about a month before. He asked if I wanted to go see My Posse in Effect with him so we'd have a podcast date, and we did. So last Friday would have been Black Friday. He and I did go travel down to the Del Mar Loop, more specifically to Del Mar Hall right next to the Paget, where Urge was playing that night, where in theory the wife and I decided to skip this year, but then last minute she went to go see the Urge this year, so she kind of cheated on me. So you're hearing that here first. But Shane and I went down there. We rode down together. He came over to the house. We piled into the Jeremy Mobile, and we took off down there. And first thing we did is we got parked. We were going to go eat at Mission Taco, which was ass to elbow and like a 30-minute wait. And we were kind of too hungry for that, and the show was going to start. So we went to a place I've walked by so many times, never went in, which is a shame because the inside is like an old-school tavern, which is like right in my wheelhouse. They had good beer, had great food, and this was Three Kings in Del Mar Loop. Not a sponsor of the show, mind you, just somewhere that we ate that I enjoyed. I had the hot chicken sandwich or the buffalo chicken sandwich, which was delicious. Shane, I think he had their Three Kings Smash Burger or something like that, which was pretty good. It looked pretty good. And then we didn't choose poorly because they were fucking delicious, but we had the spicy chicken fried, gosh darn, what's the word I'm looking for? They're only a St. Louis stable. Toasted ravioli. Sorry. Spicy chicken, toasted ravioli. And then they came with a spicy ranch that they mixed there, like a sriracha ranch. I gotta tell you what, those things were so fucking good. The only thing I say that we chose poorly, the only thing I regret, is after we were done, they had Captain Crunch crusted shrimp, which they say sells like hotcakes, so they gotta be good, right? I mean, the novelty of them alone made me want to try it, and the fact they said it was their best-selling appetizer really hammered home that I missed out. We didn't see them until after we had ordered. And had a couple beers, a couple of local beers, some Four Hands beers, so you know, it was a good dinner, and then we went over to the show, and, you know, here's the thing with My Posse in Effect. You're going to have to take all my reviews of them with a grain of salt, because I'm a tremendous Beastie Boys fan, and I know there's some Facebook chatter here and there from some people that hate on the tribute bands and say, well, this isn't what the Beastie Boys would want. So how the fuck do you know? No one's ever asked them. And they put on one hell of a show, and I love it. And by the way, we're never going to see the Beastie Boys ever again. If you've read the Beastie Boys book, if you've listened to interviews, there is no more Beastie Boys. There is just Adam Horovitz and Mike Diamond, and Adam Yauch has passed away. You still can go see, you know, Mixmaster Mike and out on tour and stuff, and it's awesome. But in order to get like the catalog of Beastie Boys music, you're gonna have to go see bands like My Posse in Effect. And there's a female cover band that I've yet to see. I can't even think of their name off the top of my head, but there's one that's pretty noted. I'd love to go see them. But as it stands, the My Posse in Effect show for me is a constant 5 out of 5. It's high energy. And that's got to do with just not only the guys that are doing the Beastie Boys songs or singing the Beastie Boys songs, but the backup band. And this is not me blowing smoke up Matt F. Basler, because I think he's just a great guy. I think he's hilarious, and I think he's a great guy. And when you see him, all it does is reinforce that theory. But and honestly, it's because he's such a great guy, it lets you know how bad of a guy Shane Presley can be from time to time, because that feud has gone on too long. I can tell you that. It's gone too long. And every time that Matt or myself, but mostly Matt, tries to get past it. Shane does something like cancel on our podcast or post a picture that he was had no permission to on his Facebook page like he did with Matt and I. But he had permission with me since, you know, I drove. He was more than welcome to do that. Matt on stage is a high energy guy. Not just high energy, but fun as shit. I mean, and you know that from listening to, even if you haven't seen him, you have to know that by listening to the podcast when we had him on, when he was promoting singing, you know, Smooth 20 times for the 20th anniversary. You can't do things like that and not be fun and high energy when you are on stage, which he is. That said, too, and I wish I knew the drummer's name because the drummer's pretty awesome. Solid. I mean, when you're playing drummer for a live / hip hop band and you're called on to do things that were done with, 808s, and, drum beats or drum machines and things like that, and you still go out there and you kill it, you know it's awesome. And then there's Dylan, the new guitar player, which, correct me if I'm wrong, those out there, but I believe he is in a long audition to be Matt's podcast partner when it's the Matt, him and Courtney on the Matt F. Bosler podcast. They're both applying for that job long term. I mean, it's a vetting process. And then all of that wrapped around DJ Moff, which when I was about to start this whole little thing here, one of the great things that you get with my Posse in Effect is the opening act is always fucking stellar. And that's DJ Moff doing, you know, mixing. I don't know how they say it. It's doing on the ones and twos. I don't know. I'm not. I love music. I don't know music. Well, that's not true. I know a lot of history and trivia. I just don't know what anything's called. Anyway, he tears it up. He tore it up for a solid hour before they come out. And then he tore it up as, you know, the default Mixmaster mic for My Posse in Effect. And man, it's a great show. They do all kinds of fun stuff like toilet paper. Like blowguns or whatever the hell it is. Anyway, they take these, you know, things you would usually blow your leaves with, and they put toilet papers on rolls on the end of them and blow them out on the stage. Or in this case, cover Shane Presley, which. In toilet paper, which has got to be a metaphor for something. They gave away presents, wrapped presents, which were hilarious. It was things like Pop-Tarts and boxes of Fruit Loops and things of that nature. And then they always give away White Castle as well. If you have a chance, if you're out of town and they come to your town, which they do go on tour, you got to go see them. And if you're in St. Louis and they're ever playing and you need someone to go with, I'll always go if I'm not already going. This time was one of the, you know, about half the time I either take a seat or I get up front. This time I was with Shane, so we got up front, which is good because the band, you know, I'm pretty noticeable. I'm a giant man with a beard, so they're like, hey, we appreciate you coming out. And this wasn't Matt saying it. You know, this was some of the actual rappers in the band. They, you know, they said, hey, we see you at all the shows, man. Thanks for rocking out. And I got to tell you, I always do rock out. Like I said, I feed off that high energy. So for me, like I said, 5 out of 5, My Posse in Effect. You should go see them. If for nothing else, then longtime friend of the show, one-time guest of the year, multiple times should be guest of the year, Matt F. Bosler is in the band. And I went with, unfortunately, or fortunately for him, to class him up a little bit, I went with Shane Presley, and we had a blast. So, okay, that was a long-winded way to get to what this episode's actually about. And I'm going to start with the whys of this episode. Here's what happened. I started watching the Mark Wahlberg movie Infinite on Paramount Plus. And I was 10 minutes into it, and I stopped it, and I yelled upstairs to my wife, who was working upstairs, and I said, sweetheart, would you be interested in watching a Mark Wahlberg sci-fi action movie called Infinite? She goes, a what? And I go, it's a sci-fi action movie starring Mark Wahlberg, and where he has memories of every previous life he's ever had. And that causes him some, it's an action movie. She goes, well, you had me at Mark Wahlberg, so I had to stop it. And in spite of its bad reviews, I thought it was fun for the beginning of it. Now, it could go to shit after. But I'll tell you this. The reason I bring that up and the reason that's lead into this episode and knowing what my previous solo episode was is I'm a sucker for Mark Wahlberg movies. So is my wife. With the exception of the Transformers franchise, which is absolute dog shit. And I feel even bad for uber-rich, uber-busy Mark Wahlberg for even being in those. I'm sure he meant well. I'm sure his kids probably liked it. But those movies are garbage. The first one, good. Every movie after, you should not exist. So I can't wait for the next one where it's like, I believe if I'm not wrong, they're actually doing the primal ones, the Beast Wars, which, oh my God. Anyway, back to this. Well, so anyway, I was watching, I was thinking, so yeah, me and my wife share that in common, but, and I can watch them over and over again, which I was thinking, well, what's my movie? What's the most Jeremy movies that are out there that I watch over and over that are a little quirky sometimes, like a Mark Wahlberg, like a Marky Mark, but not necessarily in that vein. It wrapped my head around what's one fairly obscure movies, and by that I mean, and certainly most of the people listening to this show will know these movies, but most of the people I interact with in day-to-day life, one, haven't seen a lot of these movies, two, probably don't realize I have a podcast, even if I've told them, and three, don't even understand what my podcast is about. When I say it's pop culture, they're like, well, so what do you do if I tell them? So these are the movies that are the most me, the movies I watch over and over again, movies that I discovered one way or another when I was a kid that, you know, have stuck with me my whole life, and that I constantly watch them. Like, whenever they're on, I watch these movies. So, that said, I want to present to you, and I toiled with the idea of 10 movies, and then I narrowed it down to 6. So certain movies like Pulp Fiction, which isn't something that a lot of people haven't seen. A lot of people have seen that, but there was a handful of movies that didn't make the cut. And there's a handful of movies that I had to eliminate because I wanted to narrow it down to keep with the theme of our drinking podcast. So it's a six-pack. So like I said, my long-winded way of telling you, this is the six-pack of Jeremy's most Jeremy movies, as chosen by Jeremy and presented by Jeremy. So I think if it's a mathematical reference, that's Jeremy cubed, I believe. But enough of that. Let's start with number 6. There's going to be a couple of themes in this. The two times this is going to pop up, but a lot of my movies that I loved as a kid and got to share with friends, more than friends, I shared with my cousins. And this would be my cousins on my dad's side. This would be the Wayne, as I called him, the Michaels, the Wendys, the Jasons. I guess I don't have to use S's at the end of them. They're not plural. There's really only one of them. Amber, certainly Amber, my cousin Amber, and then myself. These were movies that a couple of movies on here were movies that I remember not just sharing with friends, because some friends enjoyed it, but sharing with my cousins. And this was one of the first ones on my list that makes it, and for a couple reasons. One, my cousin Michael was the biggest Weird Al Yankovic fan I know, and I got into him because Michael was. Michael was about 5-6 years older than me, and that made me get into it. And so. Get into Weird Al, and this movie certainly tickled that part of me that really, really loved Weird Al, loved hanging out with my cousins, and that's UHF. From Conan the Librarian, Stanley Spetkowski, Turtles, Nature's Suction Cup, and so much more. This is kind of reads like part sketch show, part Pee-wee style adventure, part great soundtrack because of Weird Al. And, you know, unfortunately for this show, one of the reasons it stays in the obscure category, even though Weird Al was a massive success in the 80s, this movie came out, I believe, 89, and a month prior or a month after, here's the lineup of movies that were released with it. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Ghostbusters 2, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Lethal Weapon 2, Batman, License to Kill, When Harry Met Sally, and Weekend at Bernie's. So as you can assume, this movie tanked. Now, it does live on as a pretty influential movie for a lot of comedy writers and a lot of people just fan of, you know, this movie had Kramer in it, for Pete's sakes. It was one of his first movies. There's like a lot of really good people in this movie, and it stands as one of the seminal films of full summer with me and my cousins. It qualifies as a hidden gem because not a lot of people seen it. I guarantee some of you listening haven't seen it, didn't know Weird Al was in movies, but you got to check it out. It's well worth it. It's got everything you need from a Tim Burton-esque movie, like kind of touch. Like I said, kind of tickles on the ivories of Pee-wee Herman, sketch comedy, Beetlejuice-style stuff. It's got that type of special effects. It's a home run. I mean, and it's on this list for a reason. But another one that's on this list is, I'm sure, kind of spinning away from my cousins, but something that really did influence me and a couple of my friends growing up, specifically my friend Sean, who was the guy in our little town of Anniston, Missouri, which is population like 300. It's stuck in between two towns whose total population was barely 5,000, or right at 5,000. This is Berry Gordy's The Last Dragon. Noted recording producer, bigwig Berry Gordy. This was his foray into film, and he did it with a not really a blaxploitation movie, but a black-starred martial arts movie. And if you ever see Hayden or myself, my daughter Hayden or myself, on the PlayStation Network, you're going to see the name Bo Nuff. She's kind of taking it from me and plays on there. So I'm sometimes the original Bo Nuff. That is 100% tribute to Sho Nuff, the Shogun of Harlem, and possibly one of the greatest bad guys in history of martial arts movies. That is hyperbole, but I'm going to stand by it because he's so fucking good every time he's on screen. But also, had you seen me around in Anniston, that small town, especially with my friend Sean, you'd have seen us on like hoodies converted into ninja masks. I use the word quotation ninja mask. That's what we called them. Fighting like thin air, or in our world, imaginary bad guys, using our own version of the glow. Because if you got the glow, you got the show. That said, I didn't need a fortune cookie to tell me that Leroy, in fact, was the master in this movie. All I needed was the 170 minutes in this kick-ass 80s soundtrack, which was drastically panned by that featured artists like DeBarge, which when you've hear the soundtrack and you know the rhythm of the night came from this, you're like, wait, that's a big move or song, and it was in this movie. So you gotta watch Berry Gordy's Last Dragon. It's a one character's journey into becoming a martial arts master, like in getting the power of the supernatural power of the glow. Not the last time supernatural martial arts is going to pop up in this list, mind you. But certainly it was a great movie for me. But probably it's going to be hard to say, though. I think it might be less obscure, because I do know a lot of people that have seen The Last Dragon. And I do know a lot of people that have seen this movie. But I guarantee you, a lot less people that I know haven't seen it than that have. And that is coming in at number 4 in my 6-pack, Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the 8th Dimension. If you need a hook, here's your hook. Dr. Buckaroo Banzai is a physicist, neurosurgeon, test pilot, and rock star who has to, in this film, save the world by defeating a band of interdimensional aliens called the Red Lectroids from Planet Tim. He has to do this with an actual real band of his called the Hong Kong Cavaliers, which might be the greatest name of a band never used. I don't know why. I don't know anybody with the musicians that I've become friends with, like the Mels and Steve and Brutally Frank and Clint, and then old friend Shabazz and his band, the Backseat Girls, and all these punk bands and all these great musicians that I know, why they've never been the Hong Kong Cavaliers, at least as a little side project or something. The Hong Kong Cavaliers, by the way, are made up, along with the rest of this film, by a who's who of great actors in Peter Weller, RoboCop, John Lithgow, if you don't know who he is, come on, Jeff Goldblum, the definition of sex, Christopher Lloyd, who's Doc Brown, Clancy Brown, who's in the current season of Dexter, and you've seen him in all kinds of stuff, and the most hot in her career, and she was a hottie back in the day, Ellen Barkin. This movie is a sci-fi adventure romantic comedy. All of those things together should get you excited to see this movie. And it's one of two films, and the next I'm coming up to, that criminally did not get a sequel. I have no clue why there was no sequel to this movie. Probably because it didn't make a lot of money. It couldn't have made a lot of money. It also looks like a low production when you watch it, but it deserves a sequel. Probably never getting one, but what we do get, luckily enough, and it was pointed out to me by a friend of the show, Aaron Conaway, it's got a new book called Buckaroo Banzai Against the World Crime League, et al., A Compendium of Evils. That's a long-winded name, and it's a long way to say, I bought it, it's on my iPad, I'm going to start reading it ASAP. So that's good. So at least it lives on. Which brings us to number 3, and speaking of movies that criminally did not get a sequel, should have a sequel, and we'll get to that here in a second, but also happened to be a supernatural martial arts movie. It's like my old pal Jack Burton always says, there's nothing better than a supernatural martial arts comedy starring truckers, starring the best trucker in the world, maybe the greatest trucker film of all time, even though it's unofficially a trucker film. I'm talking about Jack Burton, who, of course, was played by Kurt Russell in this masterpiece, Big Trouble in Little China. Kurt Russell's the guy who gave us Snake Plissken, P.J. McCready, Cash, A Tango and Cash, Hangman in The Hateful Eight, Wyatt Earp, and so many more characters. But to me, Jack Burton is the best of all of them. This movie actually probably influenced a good portion of Mortal Kombat. You have to watch the movie and figure out which part that is. It's a pretty big one. It also featured a pre-naked Sex in the City, pre-Sex in the City, Kim Cattrall, as the green-eyed blonde girl. I don't know how it is, but it's very special. You'll also most recognize almost every Asian actor in this film. Even though you've seen them a million times in a million good movies, they've never been better than they were in this movie. And like I said, this movie should have a sequel. It's one of the most fun movies, fun thrill rides. It's one of the best, like, hour and 40 minutes or however long it is that you'll ever need. And since Kurt Russell's still healthy and kicking, fingers crossed. I think the way Hollywood's ran out of ideas and the way they're farming comic books and farming everything. I mean, there was a lot of time between the Snake Plissken's movies, and I think the right people could get involved and make a really good Big Trouble in Little China Part 2. It could be like a More Trouble in Little Italy or something like that. I mean, you know, do something. It's what we're asking, to do something, since, or at least give me a great, you may have gave me plenty of comic books or books, I don't know, but I need to see more. I need to see more Jack Burton, like I always say. I'm not going to spend too long on number two here, because number two, there's never enough to be said about this movie, but there's been plenty said about this movie over most of our October episodes. I mentioned this movie and the subsequent documentary, Wolfman's Got Nards, so much that you guys are probably irritated. It was also featured in my Bohannon Theater, Driveway Theater, or what did I call it? The Bohannon, or West Glen Walk-Up Theater, which is a theater that I put on in my driveway. This first double feature featured Monster Squad, the movie I'm talking about, and then Ghostbusters. Monster Squad, two things you only need to know about this movie, and I haven't already said in October, is first, it clocks in at number two on this list, and I spent all of October talking about it because it's that good, and second, back to my cousin theme, this movie, more than anything, you know, defined an entire few months of mine and my cousin's vernacular, our quotes, the games we played. Obviously, they named the documentary Wolfman's Got Nards, and that's a big... the biggest quote of the movie, my name is Horace, is also another one. You guys, quit being a bunch of pussies, is a good one. Everything about this movie is great. If you need a further description than I did in all of last month, it's a more scary movie take on the Goonies. Goonies is high adventure. This is mild horror, I guess, is the difference. And we said on this podcast, and it was said in the documentary, the Goonies saved their town, the Monster Squad saved the world, so that's a mic drop. But before we get to this next movie, just so you know, I got to give you a little math, and that's 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 1, that equals 6, or at least it does for Clue the movie, which clocks in at number 1, which... Even before the pandemic, this movie held a super special place in my heart. And that was because I first showed my family this movie. I don't think my wife had ever seen it all the way through. I certainly know my kids didn't even know of its existence. But we did a bunch of board game purchases. Really hard to track down good board games during the pandemic, Clue being one of them. But we bought it. Between the board game and the Blu-ray, we gave a handful of nights to Clue, the board game especially, but probably also stand, certainly of 2021, but one of my most favorite proud dad moments since I've been a dad is that when we watched it the first time, my daughters both said they love it, and my youngest daughter said, we should watch it again someday, which we will. I watch it probably, no lie, no less than 3 to 4 times a year, because I'll catch it on TV, maybe like halfway here, halfway there, watch it for full on TV, and then it makes me think, Well, you know what? I'm just going to put the Blu-ray in and watch it. Or now on streaming. I believe it's on Paramount Plus or Amazon. I could be wrong. I know it's a Paramount Studio movie, so it might be on Paramount Plus. But also, it should be noted that this is Christopher Lloyd's second appearance on the list, and which deserved it. But Tim Curry's first. And of all the great roles that Tim Curry has played over the years, from Rocky Horror Picture Show to what was the one with... gosh darn it, with Tom Cruise, the unicorn one. I can't think of the name. Oh, Legend. He was the devil in Legend. And then also, of course, Home Alone 2. And just so many great movies that he's been in. This is my favorite Tim Curry role. And it's the one that I most, I don't want to spoil it for those that haven't seen it. The rest of the cast is like a who's who of mid-80s comedic actors. This movie, I love its comedic sensibility. I love the timing of the comedy in it. I never don't laugh when two of the characters run into each other coming down the stairs. It's one of the greatest prop falls of all time. I love the fact that Paramount took a daring strategy of releasing it in markets with different endings, only to wait until the home video version of it came out when they had all three endings released together and in the order that John Landis and Jonathan Lynn intended. I also love that John Landis was one of the screenplay writers in this, because he would go on to be maybe one of the biggest names in comedy, maybe if not a comedic directors, maybe of all time. And you know, and certainly, you know, that was evident in like Coming to America and what else did they do together? 48 Hours. I mean, John Landis he's done it all. Just look at his body of work. And it never ceases to amaze me that even though this is my Jeremy's list, these movies are obscure for the reasons that I don't go a full year without talking about it. And I always find someone new that has not seen this. So if you're one of those new people that have never seen it, you need to go watch it. It's Clue the movie. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And it came in number one of, the PC Bombcast presents the six-pack of Jeremy's most Jeremy movies, written or chosen by Jeremy, presented by Jeremy. That's a lot of Jeremy. You guys probably have had too much Jeremy this episode, which is why I think I've talked enough. With that said, we'll go back to recording our normal episodes probably Monday night. I'll shoot out a text to the boys, say I'm back. If you can make it over, let's do it. I can almost assure you we're going to talk about Hawkeye when we come back, because we're three episodes into it. A little bit of a peek ahead. Both me and the wife enjoy it. We're going to talk about the baseball lockout. Jay shared a pretty funny thing that Major League Baseball is doing, and we'll probably put that at least in the Throw It to Missy segment. For sure, if Tom's here, we're going to talk about AEW, because that's what we do when Tom's here. And you could almost bet that we will also talk about just a metric shit ton of other pop culture stuff. So you got that to look forward to. I thank you for spending time with me on this episode, the most Jeremy episode we've ever done, which probably is going to be the title. And, this episode's going to come out probably here in about 15 minutes after I hit pause, and we'll go back to normal next week. And I appreciate you guys. By the way, please like, share, comment, do all that stuff. Just make it, I mean, we get more popular in the algorithm. We show up in more algorithms the more people comment and like. Sharing's great, but comment and liking ensures that in the podcast platforms that the marketing engine puts it where it needs to go. So just fucking, for fuck's sake, comment. If I took the time to record a 30 minutes myself rambling, you can take 30 seconds to write a comment, even if the comment is, love the show, but please stop doing solo episodes, Jeremy. I get it. Not going to do it or try to avoid it, but I do get it. So that said, no one's here to say bye but myself, which means the music will start playing right now. Cheers.